We begin today in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 3. So let's be turning in our Bibles right now to Hebrews, chapter 3. We're going to look at several passages in this one book of the New Testament. Now, the question that we want to look at today has to do with the law of Moses. Now, we've already seen many passages that tell us that the law of Moses was done away with. It is no longer in force. It is no longer in effect. When Jesus died on the cross, he removed that old law. The Bible says in Colossians 2, verse 14, that Jesus nailed that law, the law of Moses, to the cross. Now, when someone was crucified in the first century, that person died. When an individual was nailed to the cross, he died. When the law of Moses was nailed to the cross, Colossians 2:14, it died. It ceased to have effect. It ceased to be in force. But here's the question that we're going to look at today. Will that law be resurrected sometime in the future? Will it be brought back? Will it be put back in force? Will the Jews once again observe the law of Moses just as they did in the Old Testament and just as they did in Jesus' lifetime? Will they rebuild the temple and have a high priest and other priests that serve at the temple? Will they offer animal sacrifices just as they did in Old Testament times? And will all these other Old Testament regulations be put back in force? Now, there are many people who believe that it will. There are millions of people who believe a doctrine which says that someday the law of Moses is going to be put back in force. Now, that doctrine is the idea of a 1,000-year reign of Jesus on the earth in Jerusalem. You see, that whole doctrine is built around and is based on the idea that God is going to restore Israel, the nation of Israel, to a prominence that it has never had before. And that involves bringing back the law of Moses, because the identity of the nation of Israel was really involved in and centered on their keeping the law of Moses, because that was a special law that God gave to the Israelite people. The law of Moses was both a civil law and a religious law that God gave specifically to the nation of Israel. Well, if the nation of Israel is going to have a resurgence, if they're going to come back to a state of prominence in the world, and as a matter of fact, be the superpower on earth, then the law of Moses is going to have to be reinstituted. Now, I believe that there are some people, perhaps many people, who talk about the rapture and the Antichrist and the Battle of Armageddon and the thousand-year reign, that don't realize that this is part of that doctrine, that the law of Moses will be resurrected according to that idea. Now, what we're going to look at today is that the book of Hebrews specifically denies that the law of Moses will ever be brought back. Friends, the reason that Jesus died on the cross was to put an end to that old law, Colossians 2:14. Now think about it. If God is going to bring back that old law, then why on earth did our Lord suffer and die on the cross to put an end to that law? So you see, the whole idea of this thousand-year reign that people talk about involves a lot more than they oftentimes realize. It strikes at the very gospel of Jesus Christ. It strikes at the teaching of the Bible on the death of Jesus Christ and why he died on the cross. So with that in mind, let's turn to the book of Hebrews and remember that the book of Hebrews was written to Hebrew Christians, that is, Christians who were of a Jewish origin. These are people that had been brought up under the Jewish religion. They knew it well. Some of these Jewish Christians had already turned back to the old law. Some of them were on the verge of turning back as he wrote this book, and many of them needed encouragement to stay with the New Testament, to follow what the New Testament, the New Covenant, says and not go back to that old system. And so in the book of Hebrews, there is a constant comparison between the old and the new, between the old covenant or testament and the new testament. And in so doing, what you find is that the high priest is at the very center of his argument in this book. Let's start in Hebrews chapter 3. Now, the best thing to do in order to see what we're talking about today is to read the entire book of Hebrews. But in this short time that we have, what we want to do is to highlight some verses that really make this point. Hebrews 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now, when he says that, oftentimes today, we just take for granted the meaning and the power of that statement. Jesus is our high priest. As a matter of fact, he says later in this book, in Hebrews 8, verse 1, that the main point of the book of Hebrews is that Jesus is our great high priest. Now, why is that important? Why is that such a big matter? Why does he say that that is the main point of the book, and why is it that we must understand this, that Jesus is the high priest? Because the high priest was very important in the Jewish religion. And here's the point that he makes about the high priest going over to chapter 7. Now, we're skipping over a lot of great material here, but for the sake of time, I have to do this. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7. After he's talked about Jesus being a priest, after the order of Melchizedek, he makes this point in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 12. He said, "For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law." What does he mean by that? Well, people who were priests under the law of Moses had to be descendants of Levi. They had to come from the tribe of Levi. Now, that was true of your regular priest, and it was true of the high priest. They had to descend from Levi. So no matter how good a man was, no matter what kind of reputation he had, no matter what kind of ability he had, if he was not from the tribe of Levi, he could not be a priest under the law of Moses. But what has he already said about Jesus? He's already said that Jesus is not just a priest, he is our high priest. But Jesus was not from the tribe of Levi. He was from the tribe of Judah. Look at verse 14. "For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood." Jesus descended from the tribe of Judah, so that means in the law of Moses, under the authority of the law of Moses, Jesus could not be a high priest. Even though he was sinless, even though he was the perfect teacher, even though he was God manifest in the flesh, as long as the law of Moses was in effect, Jesus could not be a priest, and he certainly could not be a high priest. So his point in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 12 is this. As Christians, we understand that Jesus is our great high priest. He offered himself as the perfect sacrifice. Jesus didn't offer animal sacrifices for our sins. He offered his own blood for our sins. So in order to do that, he had to be a high priest. But in order to be the high priest, there had to be a change of the law. Because you see, the law and the priesthood were wrapped up or tied together. You couldn't change the one without changing the other. You can't change the priesthood without changing the law that authorizes the priesthood and regulates the priesthood and even tells you what the requirements for being a priest are. So in order to change the kind of priest that you have to change the law. So what he's done here in this book is to tell these Christian people that Jesus is our high priest. And probably at that point, there were none of these Christians who would even question that, who would have the slightest doubt about that. They would say, yes, okay, Jesus is our high priest. And it's possible that some of them said, so what? Why is that such a big matter? But then when he starts talking about the fact that in order for Jesus to be the high priest, because Jesus was not from the tribe of Levi, The law had to have undergone a change. That law of Moses had to have been done away with. And so in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 12, he says that the law has been changed. Now, what he does in chapter 8 is to show that the new law is superior to that old law. In chapter 9, he talks about the sacrifices that were made. And he says that Jesus doesn't need to offer sacrifices daily. He doesn't need to keep on offering himself as a sacrifice because that one sacrifice that he offered of himself was perfect. It was complete. And so look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. He goes on and says in verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Notice what he said here. All those animal sacrifices under the old law were shadows. They just represented and pointed to the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. They were temporary, and he not only says that they were temporary, he says that it was impossible that the blood of those animals would ever take away sins. So God never intended for those animal sacrifices to be permanent. They were only a foreshadow of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And once Jesus died on the cross, he put an end to that old system. He put an end to that old law. Instead of having animal sacrifices today, we have the blood of Jesus. Why on earth would people believe a doctrine that goes back to animal sacrifices, that takes people back to the old law, that offers sacrifices that the Bible says could never take away sins? Why would people turn back to the shadow when we have the very image, as he says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1? And not only this, I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 13 in the last part of this book, Hebrews 13, verse 20. In Hebrews 13, verse 20, the Bible says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, what is this everlasting covenant? That is the New Testament. That is the gospel. That's why Jesus, when he gave the Great Commission, said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. Mark 16, 15 and 16. This is why he said in Matthew 28, 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even to the end of the world. Jesus said that this teaching, this gospel, is universal and permanent. Hebrews 13, verse 20 says that the gospel is the everlasting covenant. And if the gospel is the everlasting covenant, that means that God is not going to bring back the law of Moses. The law of Moses was nailed to the cross. Jesus died to put an end to it, and it will not be resurrected and put back in force.